service to groom and procure children under 16, possessing child exploitation material and using a carriage service to access child pornography. Chalmers' barrister Jerry Elmore told Magistrate Elizabeth Hall his client did not provide access because, as a law lecturer, he had privileged material obtained in the course of his profession on his hard drive. Ms. Hall denied bail over a concern Chalmers may destroy evidence. He'll return to court on November 28. Indonesia and Australia will discuss when the postponed visit of President Joko Widodo can be rescheduled. Mr. Widodo deferred his trip after a mass protest on the streets of Jakarta turned ugly. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says he expressed Australia's regret but understood the need for Mr. Widodo to remain at home for the time being. An otherwise peaceful protest in Jakarta spiralled into violence on Friday night, with up to 150,000 protesters hurling stones at police and demanding the jailing of the city's Christian governor over comments he made about the Quran. At least one person died in the violence. Firefighters continue to battle dozens of bushfires across New South Wales, with hot and windy conditions hampering their efforts and teenage boys blamed for starting two of them. Two 16-year-olds are believed to be behind a bushfire north of Newcastle, which spread out of control after they lit a campfire on Saturday during a total fire ban in the Shoal Bay area near Port Stephens. They'll be dealt with under the Young Offenders Act. More than 1,100 firefighters spent yesterday battling 65 bushfires across New South Wales, including five that were out of control. New South Wales Rural Fire Service spokesman Inspector Ben Shepherd told the ABC he hopes favourable weather conditions today will help.
But still a lot of work to do, both today but into the following days as well, before most of these fires will be finally contained and brought under control.
Meanwhile, in WA, an extreme fire danger rating has been forecast today for parts of the Goldfields Midlands region, including areas of Kalgoorlie-Boulder, Coolgardie, Dundas, Laverton, Leonora, Menzies, Sandstone and Wiluna. And a severe fire danger rating has been forecast for inland parts of the Gascoyne, with hot, dry and windy conditions expected. Overseas, and 17 civilians have been killed by roadside bombs while fleeing Islamic State in northern Iraq. The BBC's Alan Johnston reports.
One of the areas where the Islamic State militants continue to hold out is the town of Hawija, and the police say that civilians were escaping. A group of families was travelling in a lorry when it was hit by two explosions. Further north, the battle for Mosul goes on. Troops and militants have been exchanging mortar and sniper fire as the army works to consolidate the hold it's gained on neighbourhoods in the city's east.
Also in news, 75-year-old star of the stage and screen Maria Venuti has collapsed from a stroke after being confronted by a stalker at her home in New South Wales. And AFL star Buddy Franklin and model Jacinta Campbell have tied the knot in a private ceremony in the New South Wales Blue Mountains. This is Air News. The Wallabies have put on a crisp attacking display to open their spring tour with a comfortable 32-8 victory in Cardiff and extend their winning streak over Wales to 12 games. First half tries to captain Stephen Moore and centres Tafidi Kurudrani and Reece Hodge underlined Australia's dominant opening 40 minutes before man of the match Bernard Foley capped a 12-point performance with a runaway second half try, and Dane Haylett-Petty chipped in with a late intercept. It was a display of attacking rugby coach Michael Checker insists of his players and should embolden their hopes of a Grand Slam tour, but was soured by the loss of flanker David Pocock to concussion at half-time. Australia will face a formidable total when it bats last in the Perth Test, as Air Sport's Graham Davis reports.
Despite the heat, Australia fought back in the final session with South Africa 6 for 390 at stumps and leading by 388 runs. A 250-run third wicket partnership was finally broken to the last ball before tea, when Siddle had Dumini caught behind for 141. Elgar was then dismissed by Hazelwood for 127, his fifth Test century. Mitchell Marsh removed Bavuma for 8, and Stark secured the key wicket of Du Plessis, caught behind for 32, but they were the only four wickets to fall on a difficult day for Australia. Graham Davis in Perth for Air Sports.
To English Premier League, and West Ham drew Stoke City 1-1, as did Manchester City and Middlesbrough. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today: sunny, winds northwesterly 25 to 30 k's, turning southwesterly 20 to 30 k's in the late morning. Jimmy, we're heading for a top temperature today of 25 degrees in Sydney. Sunny all day, 0% chance of rainfall. Loving that weather. Jim, what about out at Penrith and way out west at Parks?
Ray, it feels like there's a distance between you and I at the moment relationship.
And professionally and... Yeah, exactly. About 1,000 kilometres, James Smith.
Yeah, New Melbourne. Penrith, 28 degrees today in Penrith. And if we want to go west, so let's go to Parks. Partly cloudy today. A maximum temperature of 24 degrees for the spacemen.
If you buy a new refrigerator at Bingley right now, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your new fridge free, we'll unbox it and unpack it free, we'll take away the packaging for free, and my mum will take away your old fridge free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will, but it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes bar fridges and Miele. See in store or bingley.com.au for full details.
Champion Stakes and lift up the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
But now Winx is starting to extend from Diviani and Haraki. Oh, she's a wrecking ball, Winx. And there's the seventh picket in the fence. Winx goes on to win the Chipping Norton, beats Diviani and Haraki.
Not only is Henrik Stenson the Open champion, it's the lowest score anyone has ever made in the Open. 20 under par. What a performance. A round of 63 with four birdies in the last five holes. He took everything Phil Mickelson could throw at him. And on the day, he was just too good.
Queensland have won game two. They put one and two back to back. The Blues, they sink to the ground, exhausted. Queensland have won another series.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We're enjoying it in here. There's live sport going on at the moment over there in the Four Nations. It's England 32 points to 8 over Scotland after Scotland sensationally led 8-0. Two tries to the Bravehearts, and they were playing pretty good football. England have bounced back 32 points to 8. They lead. It was a very taciturn-looking Wayne Bennett when they crossed to him in the stands when they were down 8-0. I can tell you that. Of course, the Kangaroos coming up against the Kiwis. That'll be live from 7 o'clock, and we'll keep you updated throughout the course of the morning. It's been a massive sporting week, and it's just continued into the weekend. Just huge. Of course, we had the running of the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, and our man Ray Thomas, as you heard during the course of the weather, he's still stuck down there in Bleak City. Are they ever going to let you out, Raymond? Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone. Yes, as soon as we finish the show, Jim, I'll be like Usain Bolt, sprinting to the airport. I can't wait. But great week again in Melbourne, a fantastic carnival. Our Mandan's Melbourne Cup for Kieran McAvoy, the fifth Melbourne Cup victory for his owner, Lloyd Williams, and a tremendous race. We saw a spectacular race on Thursday, Jim, the Victoria Oaks. And
wow.
The Sweaty Spirit, trained by Lee Curtis, ridden by Brenton Abdella. That was as exciting a race as you'll see. There's nothing like watching a front runner, and at 100-1, it just kept going. It was amazing. And of course, yesterday, the final day, just over 70,000 turned up, Jimmy, for the final days of the Melbourne Cup Carnival. And overall, tremendous success, but not too happy about the cricket, Jim. We are in all sorts over there at the Wacker.
It was a very good day one for Australia. And then day two and day three have been very tough indeed. To give you an update, of course, Australia dismissed South Africa for 242 in their first innings. It was a good performance. Mitchell Starc with four wickets and Josh Hazlewood with three. And then David Warner and Sean Marsh pretty much put up the defence or went about getting that total. And as soon as they left, Australia lost 10 for 86.
Terrible.
10 for 86, 244. So they led by two. And then in reply, they are 6 for 390, South Africa. It took them just before tea until they lost their first wicket yesterday. Dean Elgar, 127, but a beautiful innings from JP Duminy, 141. And the concerning thing from an Australian point of view, Ray, is that now you've got Mitchell Starc, who's bowled 20, he only bowled 18 overs in the first innings, 27 overs in this second innings, and he's coming, and Peter Siddle's now bowled 22, and they're both coming off really limited preparations into this test match, and they've got a short turnaround to the next one.
Yeah, and I only got home to watch a little bit of the last session, and Stark's pace had obviously dropped off towards the end of the day, so that's a concern. Look, whatever happens, Australia are going to be chasing a world record run chase, essentially, aren't they, Jimmy? What is it, 418? The West Indies got a few years back, so it's going to be really tough. South Africa are down one bowler. Dale Steyn won't bowl again in this test match, so... But 418, or 418 plus, whatever it's going to be, it just seems... Too tough for them, I think, Jim.
I was listening and you're watching, and I think if there's anywhere that it could happen, it's the Whacker.
Yeah.
If there's an opportunity, because their number one bowler is out of the attack.
I think there was a really salient comment from one of the Channel 9 commentators late last night when he said, and not having a go at Warner or Sean Marsh, they got starts, didn't carry on. They said, really, Warner should have got 150 and Marsh his 100. That's the difference. Elgar's got his start, got his 120-odd. Duminy's got to 141. That's essentially the difference. Their 250-run partnership has put South Africa in this tremendous position. The next highest score in the second innings is De Plessis with 32. So that's the key, Jim. If you get a start, you've got to make it count.
Oh, I think you're being a little harsh on Warner and Marsh.
Oh, I'm not having a go at them at all. There's a few other guys. Oh, absolutely. I'm not having a go at them at all, Jim. They did a great job. But what I'm saying is they get a start, they've got to cash in, Jim, because once you get beyond 30 or 40, you've really got to make it count at the Whacker. And you are right. If you can get in, there is runs to be had against what is essentially a three-man bowling attack.
Yeah, and Warner and Smith, obviously the keys in that one. We'll take your thoughts on that. 1353 53, the open line number, 0419 SMS BSB. If you want to send us an SMS, 0419 767 272. And, of course, you can get us on the tweets as well, @BigSportsWEND, @BigSportsWEND. No emails. I know there was an SMS recently. We don't have emails, so please don't send us an email. Big shout-out to Raymond, to Leonard R. Gregory, who is a long-time listener, tweets the program, and he's over there at Rico Arena in Coventry. So it's a double-header that they're playing at the moment, and it's England playing Scotland now and Australia taking on the Kiwis in the Four Nations, and one of our listeners is over there, and he's sending through photos. So good on you, Leonard. I hope you're enjoying it. Michael Friedman will be coming up very shortly in this hour as well. We'll have our race replays. Lee Curtis. God, it was an emotional Lee Curtis, wasn't it, after the running of the Oaks on Thursday? And understandably so. The manner of the win, it's not a big stable that Lee has, but that's a huge win for he. Brenton Abdullah and Frank Cook, the owner. Tim Clark with five yesterday. We'll have a chat to him. Phil Moss. Gee, Sydney FC. They left it late, but they got it done. David Carney. Couple of late goals in there, 2-1 victory in the Big Blue. So well done to Graham Arnold and his men. Their impressive start to the season continues. We'll speak to Phil Moss about that. We'll have our event cinemas quiz. Tanya will have all the latest scratching. She'll also have a sports update the next hour. Michael Carrianos. It'll be a half-time. Half-time, the Kangaroos and the Kiwis. We're going to have Michael Carrianos live from Rico Arena. So that's a bit of a treat. And at 8:30, our legend of the game, Raymond...
Jeff Henry Lawson.
Correct.
Outstanding.
Yeah. He's, 46 tests for Australia, 180 test wickets. If you speak to Jeff, if all the catches were taken and the LBWs given, it would have been 450 wickets, but that's the way it goes. So he's a very good student of the game of cricket. So and a very impressive captain when he captained New South Wales too. We'll get his thoughts on the captaincy of Steve Smith.
Attacking captain, wasn't he, Jeff?
Very attacking, very aggressive. And they say it had an impact on Mark Taylor and Steve Waugh's captaincy.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah. The fact that he was so aggressive during the course of that time. Speaking of listeners, Ray, and speaking of Oaks winners, we've got to make mention of Mick Fenwick, who he often SMSs the program and tells us what's going on, what he thinks about certain things. And he was a part owner of Lasquetti Spirit.
He was at Flemington on Thursday. And,
fair enough.
He's been with Lee Curtis's stable for 25 years. And look, that was obviously his biggest win. And it was really good to see people who, you know, who struggle a bit in the game. It's a tough game, and their perseverance pays off, and it was great to see. And Mick was there enjoying the moment, as was Lee Curtis and his wife Cherie and Frank Cook, etc., and tremendous day. Jimmy, we haven't made mention of one of the great sporting curses, if you can call that, being put to bed, the Chicago Cubs. And what about the parade in Chicago on Friday? They're saying it's the seventh largest gathering in human history now. Over 5 million people turned up for the Chicago Cubs parade. If you haven't caught up with the news, they've finally broken the curse of the billy goat, so to speak, and won the World Series.
It's amazing, wasn't it? What about Game 7, into the 10th innings? Watching the Test cricket, was following that. It was just incredible. Congratulations to them. The lovable losers no more. The Chicago Cubs, 108 years of history, have been beaten. And what was the name of the guy who owned the Billy Goat Bar in...
Billy Sianis, is that right?
Cubs, they aren't going to win no more.
That's right.
And that was in 1945. They asked him to leave the stadium because his goat was smelt.
It stunk, effectively.
Stunk. The Patriots wanted him to leave, yeah. So it was incredible.
And he owned the Billy Goat Tavern, apparently.
Billy Goat Tavern, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's so right.
But the curse is over. Fantastic scenes.
Got to make mention of the Wallabies. They had a 32-8 victory over Wales. I only seen the highlights this morning. I tell you what, they played well. Izzy Folau. I see Bernard Foley was given man of the match, and it's hard to pick up during the course of highlights, but Israel Folau looked...
He just moves
so well, and he's involved in everything. So good start to their spring tour. Michael Checker will be a lot happier with that. They did hear a report that Dave Pocock went off at halftime with a concussion. So it'll be interesting to see whether he'll be right for the next game.
You don't sound on top of your game this morning, Jim. Bit of a cold, have you?
No, you know what it is? Windy, hay fever.
Hay fever, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Windy day yesterday here in Sydney town.
Warm, apparently.
Yeah, warm and windy. And so as a result, the washing dried, which was fantastic, very quickly. But I got hay fever, so just working my way through that, Roman. I appreciate you bringing it up, though.
I'll bring some Telfast up for you that I bought when I was down here, because I only get hay fever when I'm in Melbourne, Jim. I know it makes no sense at all, but whenever I'm down here in the spring and it's a little bit warmer, which it hasn't been much this spring, I get hay fever, but I don't know what it is.
All right, very quickly, Roman, and we might throw it open to the listeners as well, 1353. Highlight of your carnival again, the big 4 days at Flemington. Is there a standout race? Is there a standout moment? There's lots of moments.
I think the moment was the Oaks. I thought it was just a tremendous great sporting theatre to watch that. And in the end, everyone was happy, even though no one packed the winner.
Everyone was happy
for the result, because it was just fantastic to see. Brenton Abdullah, I know he's been criticised a bit for what happened after the finishing line, and look, there is a safety issue there, but it was great theatre. I just loved it. The moment of this, or the race of the Spring Carnival, or the moment of the Spring Carnival, I think was still Winks in the Cox Plate, Jim, but I think that Oaks was just a fantastic piece of sporting theatre.
I love the Joe Moreira patting
it was great, yeah.
Kieran McAvoy on the back after our man had won the Melbourne Cup. I thought that was a great moment as well. 1353, we'll take your thoughts on that. We've got to go to a break now. Just an update in that score. 32-12 now, England over Scotland. So Scotland have scored another try, and there's just 3.5 minutes remaining as we go inside the dressing sheds of the New Zealand Kiwis, getting ready for this match against the Kangaroos, due to kick off at 7 o'clock our time, 7 a.m. our time. 1353-53, the open line number. A break at 19 minutes past 6. And after the break, we'll take your calls, and we'll also release our talk topic for the day. Ray, very excited about this one.
Building a house? Then you'll want the best quality Australian-made lintels and T-bars at the best possible price. Builders Steel Direct have teamed with tried and tested local lintel manufacturer Galintel to offer you their full range of Australian-made products. Galintels, T-bars, render bars, cavity bars are just some of the products available. Order online anytime at buildersteeldirect.com.au. Builders Steel Direct, strengthening the building industry with BlueScope Steel.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The Man Shake helped me lose weight, and now I have more energy to be a better dad.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
At USG Boral, we're the building materials manufacturer that offers more. And our legacy of supporting a job well done spans more than a century. It's why we created the first plasterboard. And it's why we developed the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia while upping its sag resistance. Was it easy? No. But neither is carrying heavy boards up three flights of stairs. See how we're supporting builders with products like our lightweight sheetrock plasterboard at usgboral.com.
According to the brand new Australian Share of Audio study, Australians are now listening to nearly 3.5 hours of radio and audio a day. Well, I say radio and audio, but mainly listening to radio. In fact, no other audio platform comes close. Even when you add all the others together, the total still accounts for only around half of radio share. Which is worth knowing if you're an advertiser wanting to reach more customers. A lot more customers. Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm really saying is that of all the things Australians listen to each day, nothing else comes close to radio. Just go to radiowiththelovething.com.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
With lips closed and eyes sealed.
53-53, sorry, Raymond.
I'm going to jump in there.
You know, there's
right.
The problem. Yeah. No, you go, mate. You go. Away, yeah. No, away you go.
All I was going to say was the carnival was over in Melbourne, but the sporting action just hots up. And important day, as we mentioned earlier at the WAC yesterday, Australia have really got to take some early wickets and then get set. Didn't make mention of the NBL overnight. Jimmy, the Kings have lost in Cairns. 64-57, yeah. Very low scoring game up there. They're still equally as 5-2.
Tough on the road.
Yep, they get to play Cairns in a rematch, so to speak, in Sydney tomorrow night. But off to a good start, though, Sydney. And as you mentioned earlier, Jimmy, Sydney FC 5-0 for the season, conceded their first goal, but still got up and won 2-1, and they are off to a flyer.
Got an SMS in here, no name on it, but it says, Jimmy, next time Mary's due to stay, you might want to organise an extended stay in Bleak City yourself. Mary, of course, being my mother-in-law, who, of course, went home about 10 days ago, but I do appreciate the fact that you are concerned about that, whoever you are. Might be Tracy sending that in, but anyway, we don't know. The talk topic, Raymond, given the fact that it was extremely hot at the WACA yesterday.
How hot, Jim?
37 degrees. That's not counting with the hot winds that's coming in there too as well. So 37 degrees and tough conditions for the Australian bowlers yesterday. We thought extreme weather conditions for sporting events.
Okay.
Extreme weather conditions. Have you got one, Roman?
It was cold at Flemington yesterday. It wasn't as cold as Cox Plate today, but
right.
It was cold. Ali versus Foreman, 1974, yeah, Rumble in the Jungle.
Yes.
I think it was about 4 a.m. in the morning, wasn't it? And it was like 30, yes. 31 or 32 degrees or something when they fought. And that would be tough. Tough on the body clock, tough on those conditions,
yes.
The humidity, all because of live TV back in America, Jim.
I think Ali was getting up at a ridiculous hour to train.
He was training for it,
yeah.
And getting his body ready, but it just... It'd be so tough because you'd... Anyway, but that's mine. Yours, Jim?
Sharknado. Remember on the Monday night footy when the Sharks played the Rabbitohs? Was it 2015? And it was the worst weather conditions I have ever seen for a sporting event.
That's right.
Sharks, somehow, the broadcast went to air, the players got on the field, and the actual game was played out. But that's as bad as it gets. I want to make special mention, 1986 Tide Test. In Madras.
Oh, Dean Jones's epic 200?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Yes, I'll tell you what, you talk to people about Dean Jones's epic 200. No one wants to talk about it more than Dean Jones.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
You know, I don't know whether you saw the newspaper articles a couple of weeks ago. Greg Matthews, who also played
just
in that game,
gave it to him.
Happened to get a tenfer.
Yeah.
Had a really strong go at his mate. Dean Jones. Ray Bright was another one who was in that test match, and of course all the bowlers had to do it in the heat as well.
Exactly, yeah.
but we hear
was
about
Ray, Ray Bright the one who was hallucinating or something?
That's right. He was in the dressing shed hallucinating, and AB was saying, "Get him back out here."
Exactly. Imagine AB, a tough man.
How tough is AB?
He held that side together for years, Jim.
Gosh, he was underappreciated during the course of his time.
We'll ask Henry Lawson about him when we get him on at 8:30.
Well, we can ask that for sure. 13:53:53. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. What a win by Francis of Assisi. Great prospect for next year. I reckon he would like Tom Melbourne in every race he contests. Regard, eagle-eyed Phil.
Equal favourite for the Melbourne Cup, Jim.
Yeah.
Francis of Assisi, won by 10. We've seen some big winning margins this spring, haven't we? If you go back to Hartnell's Turnbull, obviously Winks and the Cox Plates, Francis of Assisi yesterday. It's very rare to see so many dominant performances like this.
And what Lasquetti Spirit ended up winning by about 4 lengths too.
Yeah, 3 3/4, and she just kept going, Jim. That was an extraordinary effort, as we said earlier. But we'll talk to Lee Curtis a bit later, and I still think that was the race of the carnival, the moment. Definitely Winks in the Cox Plate.
Morning, Jimmy and Ray. My highlight and lowlight of the spring carnival. The highlight, the brilliant riding by Kieran McAvoy.
Mm.
The lowlight, Frankie Dettori. Can someone give Frankie a compass, a map, and Siri to find his way around Flemington? That's Brett from Broadbeach.
I don't think Willie Mullins was too happy either, Jim, after Frankie's ride on Wicklow Brave. I wonder if Willie comes back next year, and I'm sure he will. He might use an Australian jockey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Frankie hasn't covered himself in glory out here, really, has he?
He's won a few races, been second a couple of times in the Cup, but, gee, he's been remembered more for...
That's right.
...his absolute shockers than his good rides, that's for sure.
Yeah. The Tigers versus Canberra in the snow. Jack from Old Bay. Yeah, that was the
that's
year 2000.
Right.
Year 2000, that's a good one. So
Vanderhum's 76 Melbourne Cup, Jimmy. Can you remember that one? Before your time? Or
bit before me, yeah.
Unbelievable rain and wind. And in 2010, I think it was, Wanted won the Newmarket Handicap. And the wind and rain was so strong. They ran basically the Newmarket in a single lane up the centre of the track. It was water everywhere. That was probably the most extraordinary conditions I've seen.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. With all the money Wicklow Braves owners spent on getting her here, getting the horse here, surely they could have spent $10 extra on a compass for Frankie.
What was he doing, Jim? What was he doing out there to that first turn? He was down the outside fence almost.
Lou from Louisville. A lot of the punters venting their spleen here on a Sunday morning. You're happy. We're happy for you to do so. 13:53:53, the open line number. We've got callers on the line. Adrian is there. Raymond, g'day, Adrian.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Really well.
We'll talk about the Four Nations, but before that, the baseball and NFL. I mean, Thursday I was having midday off, and I was having lunch, and they had the baseball on and feeding, and I was watching it for hours while I was eating. Nothing happened for an hour. Honestly, you can see why it's just basically in America and other little pockets and it's never going to go anywhere else.
You've got to get yourself immersed in it, Adrian. Once you understand the nuances of the game, it is compelling theatre.
Adrian,
and I love the American commentators. They are amazing.
Yeah, but it goes for 5 hours, and you can cut back the... You can take the whole thing and just watch 15, 20 minutes, wouldn't you?
Adrian, can you imagine what people think of Test cricket?
Mm.
It goes for 5 days.
What, Adrian, ever been to a baseball game in America? If you ever get a chance to go there and do it because it is amazing.
You do it as a one-off spectacle, but, you know, I've watched some of the, you know, when they flip it across and they feed into the crowd and they're just basically, every now and then they look up, otherwise they just sit and have a chat and have something to eat, really.
I thought it was amazing sporting theatre, Jim. It was fantastic, that 10th inning stretch. Anyway, yeah, but that's the baseball.
Yeah, you know, just as I said, I mean, it's not going to take off around the world. Just on the rugby league, I'd love to hear from Jared Sutton, one referee. Honestly, clean, clear, no problems. You know, honestly, from the get-go, two referees I said was rubbish, and now everyone's coming on board says it is. And
Hey.
Yeah?
Not everyone.
So, well, who? Do you like it, Jim, do you?
Well, I'm telling you, it would be WrestleMania if there was one referee in the National Rugby League.
Why?
Because it would be.
But now, do you understand
how much you're asking one person to do?
Oh, come on, with the support of
with the support of who?
Of the video, of the lines, and give them.
Hang on. You've got the support of the second referee. You want support from someone? You got the second referee. They'll offer the support.
But we still get rubbish anyway. And if you put someone in the sin bin straight away to do something stupid, how often will they do it again? Not once more. Honestly, it hasn't improved the game one bit. What do you think, right?
Jimmy, I'm actually with Adrian. I'd prefer to go back to one referee, and I think in Four Nations we've seen it again that one referee tends to control the game better. I know what you're saying about the wrestle, etc., but then surely the touch judges can get more involved, ensure the 10 is back. If there is issues in the play of the ball, the touch judges come in and help out the ref, but I'm with the one ref man, Jim.
Well, that'll do, Moon Raymond.
Just being honest, Jimmy Smith. I'm just being honest.
Now, here I am trying to hold up the fort here. Adrian comes on, dribbling again about one referee. And how in one-off events like test matches, they're fine. We had a great start to the day, and now you've gone and done that, Ray Thomas.
This could be the end of our professional relationship, James Smith.
News is now, Ray.
University of Technology law lecturer facing serious child porn charges has refused to let police access his laptop computer, a court has heard. 41-year-old Gordon Douglas Chalmers has been charged with using a carriage service to groom and procure children under 16, possessing child exploitation material, and using a carriage service to access child pornography. Chalmers's barrister, Jerry Elmore, told Magistrate Elizabeth Hall his client did not provide access because, as a law lecturer, he had privileged material obtained in the course of his profession on his hard drive. Ms. Hall denied bail over a concern Chalmers may destroy evidence. He'll return to court on November 28. Indonesia and Australia will discuss when the postponed visit of President Joko Widodo can be rescheduled. Mr. Widodo deferred his trip after a mass protest on the streets of Jakarta turned ugly. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says he expressed Australia's regret but understood the need for Mr. Widodo to remain at home for the time being. An otherwise peaceful protest in Jakarta spiralled into violence on Friday night, with up to 150,000 protesters hurling stones at police and demanding the jailing of the city's Christian governor over comments he made about the Quran. At least one person died in the violence. Firefighters continue to battle dozens of bushfires across New South Wales, with hot and windy conditions hampering their efforts and teenage boys blamed for starting two of them. Two 16-year-olds are believed to be behind a bushfire north of Newcastle, which spread out of control after they lit a campfire on Saturday during a total fire ban in the Shoal Bay area near Port Stephens. They'll be dealt with under the Young Offenders Act. More than 1,100 firefighters spent yesterday battling 65 bushfires across New South Wales, including five that were out of control. New South Wales Rural Fire Service spokesman Inspector Ben Shepherd told the ABC he hopes favourable weather conditions today will help.
But still a lot of work to do, both today but into the following days as well, before most of these fires will be finally contained and brought under control.
Meanwhile, in WA, an extreme fire danger rating has been forecast today for parts of the Goldfields Midlands region, including areas of Kalgoorlie-Boulder, Coolgardie, Dundas, Laverton, Leonora, Menzies, Sandstone and Wiluna. And a severe fire danger rating has been forecast for inland parts of the Gascoyne, with hot, dry and windy conditions expected. Overseas, and 17 civilians have been killed by roadside bombs while fleeing Islamic State in northern Iraq. The BBC's Alan Johnston reports.
One of the areas where the Islamic State militants continue to hold out is the town of Hawija, and the police say that civilians were escaping. A group of families was travelling in a lorry when it was hit by two explosions. Further north, the battle for Mosul goes on. Troops and militants have been exchanging mortar and sniper fire as the army works to consolidate the hold it's gained on neighbourhoods in the city's east.
Also in news, 75-year-old star of the stage and screen Maria Venuti has collapsed from a stroke after being confronted by a stalker at her home in New South Wales. And AFL star Buddy Franklin and model Jacinta Campbell have tied the knot in a private ceremony in the New South Wales Blue Mountains. This is Air News. The Wallabies have put on a crisp attacking display to open their spring tour with a comfortable 32-8 victory in Cardiff and extend their winning streak over Wales to 12 games. First half tries to captain Stephen Moore and centres Tafiti Kurudrani and Reece Hodge underlined Australia's dominant opening 40 minutes before man of the match Bernard Foley capped a 12-point performance with a runaway second half try, and Dane Haylett-Petty chipped in with a late intercept. It was a display of attacking. Rugby coach Michael Checker insists of his players and should embolden their hopes of a Grand Slam tour, but was soured by the loss of flanker David Pocock to concussion at half-time. Australia will face a formidable total when it bats last in the Perth Test, as Air Sport's Graham Davis reports.
Despite the heat, Australia fought back in the final session with South Africa 6 for 390 at stumps and leading by 388 runs. A 250-run third wicket partnership was finally broken to the last ball before tea, when Siddlehead Dumini caught behind for 141. Elgar was then dismissed by Hazelwood for 127, his fifth Test century. Mitchell Marsh removed Bavuma for 8, and Stark secured the key wicket of Du Plessis, caught behind for 32, but they were the only 4 wickets to fall on a difficult day for Australia. Graham Davis in Perth for Air Sports.
To English Premier League, and West Ham drew Stoke City 1-1, as did Manchester City and Middlesbrough. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny today, winds northwesterly 25 to 30 kilometres an hour, turning southwesterly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour in the late morning, and then tending northeast to southeasterly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the evening. Is a 0% chance of rain. It's a maximum of 25 degrees in Sydney town today. Raymond, what about Warunga? And given it's Cotton Cup day, what about Warren?
Yeah, Warunga, beautiful day, 27 degrees. Out at Warren at the moment, Jimmy, only 6.8 degrees. Ooh. But for Cotton Cup day this afternoon, heading for a balmy 26 degrees.
This racing wrap is brought to you by Lucrif Super, a proud supporter of the National Jockeys Trust. You'll see their name on the backside of every jockey this spring.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, full time, it's 38 England, 12 Scotland. England have beaten Scotland 38-12, so that keeps their Four Nations hopes alive. Australia due to play the Kiwis at 7 a.m, Jim.
That's correct.
Okay, well, and now your favourite part of the show. We'll go straight into the race replays.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. How many have we got this morning?
It's about 28. No, no, seriously, only about 6 or 7, Jim. But
hang on, what is it, 6 or 7?
It's actually 7.
But,
Jimmy, look, this race seems like, how long ago, about, it was only last Tuesday, the Melbourne Cup. It seems a month ago to me, but here it is again. We'll relive our Almandon and Heartbreak City, this epic duel along the Flemington Strait.
Wicklow Brave is under pressure when they turn in. It's been a relentless run, Cup. Who's going to be the last man standing? Hartnell and Jamaica peel to the outside. Here comes Heartbreak City, letting down with a beautiful run too. Up the middle of the course, and Almandon joins in. Heartbreak City and Almandon race up to Hartnell. They look the three from El Moonquith. It's Heartbreak City. Almandon on the outside. They've paired down to fight it out. Heartbreak City the inside and Almandon on the outside. Almandon and Heartbreak City. What a finish to the Melbourne Cup. Almandon putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City. They hit the line. Almandon. Almandon won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City. 5 lengths away was Hartnell third. Kiwi next over, followed by Hoosh.
It was a good race, wasn't it? Great match race down there for the finish as well. Almandon for Lloyd Williams. Can you believe it? 5. He started talking about Bart Cummings. I think he was getting a little ahead of himself, Raymond.
Well, he says, I want to be here when I'm 98 talking to you guys about my 12th Melbourne Cup. So you've got to have ambition in life.
Sure.
Hey, Jimmy, Almandon may actually back up next Saturday in the Zipping Classic. Lloyd Williams was saying late last week to me that he's really happy with the way the horse has pulled up, and he's a 7-year-old gelding. Jimmy has got, he's had issues with his tendons previously, so
yeah.
Right now he's fit and sound, and look, if he's well, why not roll the dice and run again in the Zipping Classic? Jim, Thursday, the Victoria Oaks before 60,000 people, Brenton Abdallah produced a ride for the ages.
Lasquiddy Spirit turns into the straight about 3 lengths to My Girl Chili. Oliver said, let's go on Eleonora. She's starting to do the chase, followed by Miss Rock, and then a half a dozen lengths to Harlow Gold. Yankee Rose too far back. 300 metres to go, and Lasquiddy Spirit still about 4 to 5 lengths in front of Eleonora. Miss Rock battling away. Harlow Gold coming down the outside. Lasquiddy Spirit is still well clear with 100 metres to go. Got to be getting tired. Abdullah pulled the whip. She's 4 or 5 in front, though, and Lasquiddy Spirit has pinched the Oaks by 4 lengths. Hello Gold second, Eleonora third, Peking Duck got home next.
Oh, what a run. Okay, all the other jockeys shown up, do you think?
I don't think so, Jim, because it was a solid tempo and she just essentially kept going. It was quite extraordinary. Just when you thought she'd have to tire, she just kept powering on. She might just be one of those tough, relentless, grinding, front-running stays that come along once so often, and great scenes afterwards with Lee Curtis and the connections of Lasquetti's spirit, and we'll hear from Lee shortly. The final two group ones of the Carnival, Jimmy, yesterday at Flemington. I think this was a winning move by the VRC, switching the old McKinnon to the final day, calling it the Emirates Stakes.
Can I ask you this?
Yes.
Why couldn't they call it the Emirates McKinnon?
Well, that makes a lot more sense, Jim, because everyone's calling it Emirates in brackets, formerly McKinnon Stakes, because no one knew what race we were talking about. But look, I think it was a winning move. They doubled the prize money. They got almost a Cox Plate feel bar, Winks and Hartnell. Tremendous scenes as well after the race win. Awesome rock for Stephen Baster, hung on to win.
Around the turn, and it's Vadamos first for the judge in the Emirates, led by 2.5 to Awesome Rock. Endless Drama called on by Williams on the inside, and then Vanbrugh Hauraki down the outside. Good standing from Seabirsch. The United States a lot to do. Vadamos is coming back, and Awesome Rock raced up at the 200 metres to challenge him now. Awesome Rock and Vadamos from Hauraki, and then Seabirsch in good standing. Awesome Rock got to the front. Hauraki driving through. Hauraki after Awesome Rock, and then Seabirsch. Awesome Rock responding brilliantly, and Awesome Rock has won it from Hauraki and Seabirsch. Close go for fourth.
Close go for second. Hauraki and Seabirsch, but Awesome Rock for Leon and Troy Corstens won the Australia Cup with Stephen Baster on board. Had it taken from them, so a bit of retribution for them there yesterday. Well done on that one.
Tremendous effort. Great run from Vadamos running fourth again. Just like the Cox Plate, Jimmy, he tended to over-race in front and did himself no favours. He's one tough horse to hang on. Then we went to the Darley Classic, and I think I wrote this morning, Jim, this was a race where it mattered for the losers too, because there was some real hard luck stories here, particularly with Spieth. Should have won, I thought. Malagira has hung on to beat Spieth. Phil Swoop third. Let's hear the finish, and we'll talk about it afterwards, Jim.
The quarterback and our boy Malachi still together towards the middle and end of the field with English. Turnbull is towards the end from Spieth and Japanese. But now they come to the 300 metres, and coming back is Scheidel. Fell Swoop hit the lead. Now Lankin Rupee and the quarterback peels on the far side, and Malagira is on this side coming home strongly at the clock tower. Fell Swoop, Malagira from the quarterback with about 100 metres to go. Flying home is Spieth over the top. Malagwira's hit the lead late. Spieth dived at him and made it close, but I think Malagwira just from Spieth and Fell Swoop. And then
you think right, Greg Miles. Malagwira got there for Peter Galagotis. Ben Mellum on board. Spieth, the unlucky runner, as you mentioned. Fell Swoop, what a star of that stable for Matty Dale. Nearly got there as well. Then you start thinking about the other stories that are there. Our boy Malachi bled for the second time, Ray.
Yeah, and that's it. That's his career.
What a career, though.
Yeah, great horse. 19 wins from 27 starts. Started his career in Rockhampton and end up lining up as favourite in a Group 1. And, look, the Team Hawks were certainly upset. That's a very popular horse, our boy Malachi, and close to their hearts. Bryce Hayes was overcome with emotion after Spieth was just beaten. That race could have been a career-defining moment for Bryce. He's a good friend of this show, and his turn will come. Similarly for Matty Dale and Fell Swoop, Jim, it was exposed to a very gusty wind up the Flemington Straight there yesterday, and he was very brave running third. He's just been beaten in two $1 million sprints this spring by narrow margins, and I think his turn will come as well. It was a race full of theatre, Jimmy.
Yeah, wasn't it fantastic? Now, you're going to take us to Canterbury as
Canterbury, well? Canterbury, yep. First race, race one. Very nice filly this. Teaspoon, Michael Freeman, his two-year-olds are up and running.
As they round the corner, and Teaspoon still on the bridle from Ipso Facto. Milanese Girl to the outside. Malahat gives away a big start. 200 metres to run. Teaspoon going well in the lead from Milanese Girl and Ipso Facto. Then came Cool Mover and Malahat. Teaspoon in front. Milanese Girl is driving late, but Teaspoon's clinging on. And plenty of sugar for punters there. Teaspoon gets in for Milanese Girl second. Ipso Facto third.
Bada boom, bada bang from Darren Flindell. In town all week. Try the veal. So... Teaspoon, you ring the boss, you say, where should I, after a very successful career in Singapore, you ring the boss and say, where should I train? And he says, well, if you train here, I'll give you one. Seems like too good a deal to refuse, and that's exactly what happened for Michael Freeman with John Massara.
First runner for Arrowfield and a winner.
Yeah, that's a good way to start there. It'll be interesting to see what Michael's plans are for Teaspoon. We'll chat to him very shortly about that one as well.
Yeah, it looks an absolute natural. Two best horses, I thought, the race yesterday, Jimmy. Race two, Shawshear, I think it's how you pronounce it. Very promising three-year-old. On to the third. This sprinter is going places, Mr. Manhattan.
A length further back to Harara, then Eminent Duke, Mr. Manhattan poking through the centre, and Clark looking for the gaps now, and he's getting plenty of room as they turn. Lucky Meteor in front. From Painter ranges up on the outside, but here comes big Mr. Manhattan breathing down their necks with Eminent Duke on the inside. Paint takes the lead below the 200. Painter neck in front from Mr. Manhattan. It's Paint in front, but Mr. Manhattan is towering over the top and got up to win it. Mr. Manhattan just edged out Paint. Third between Lucky Meteor.
Horse of Promise that's now starting to deliver for Joe Pride. The 1-2 for Joe Pride of the stable there, and that was, of course, Timmy Clark's first of five for the day. Not a bad day.
He's had a day out, hasn't he? I think Joe Pride will test Mr. Manhattan at stakes level next start, and deservedly so. He's putting together a very good record. As you mentioned, Jimmy, Tim Clark had five winners. He got on a roll after Mr. Manhattan's win. He kept on winning down to the last race, and here is one of his better rides, Infradig.
Echelere just in front from Zinzan, Elsie and Untamed Diamond. They're followed by L.A. Cheval back on the inside. Pienka, Infradig is working into the clear. Echelere, Untamed Diamond, Zinzan looks to be beaten off. Echelere in front from Untamed Diamond. L.A. Cheval, Infradig is swamping them wide out. Infradig goes to Untamed Diamond, got up. Tim Clark, take a bow. Five winners for the day. Infradig in the last bound beat Untamed Diamond. And
yes, fifth winner for the day there for Timmy Clark. Another one there for Godolphin. And a second collect for the Punters Club too. So don't worry, Infradig. We were cheering that one home, Roman.
He's had a big day, hasn't he, Tim? I have to ask him. I'm not sure he's ever ridden five winners
no,
before.
No, he hadn't ridden four. I heard yesterday after his fourth win.
Gee.
And Greg Radley said, have you ever ridden four? And he said, no, I've ridden three a few times, but I've never ridden four. So there you go. Five's new territory.
Yeah, what about like out of town? I was going to ask, but I know
it might have been in town. Yeah.
But tremendous effort. They don't often ride five winners. And so you've had a winning day, Jim, have you?
We finished in front. I'll tell you what, we needed the last at Canterbury to do it, but we finished in front, Raymond.
Oh, there you go. So only a small crowd at Canterbury yesterday, Jim.
You didn't expect a big crowd, did you?
Well, I was hoping there'd be a good crowd because there's been really good crowds right through the month of October, through the spring carnival in Melbourne. The Sydney crowds have held up. Canterbury's not often used as a Saturday venue. It was yesterday. Crowd a little bit disappointing. They'll get more, Jimmy, on Friday night.
Can I ask you, who owns Canterbury Racecourse?
Well, ATC, yeah.
Right. With the value of land in that area.
I know where you're coming from.
Well, it's surely a rationalisation and land... It's an extra racetrack when you could actually. I know there was always the thought of maybe that was going to be the quarantine area for the internationals for the autumn, but you know you can do that elsewhere, can't you? At a cheaper rate.
Jimmy, you're talking sense. Two things. One, they've got to fix up Sydney's other tracks first. Get the Kensington track up and working properly, as it should be designed to be a workhorse for Sydney racing. Improve Warwick Farm. There's improvements to be made at Hawkesbury. Once all those things are done, then you can certainly look at a track like Canterbury and say, well, okay, what is its future? Do we have it as a midweek venue? Do we have it as a night racing venue if night racing goes to Randwick? Or it's probably worth 400 men as potential real estate, Jim.
Can you imagine it?
Mm.
Amazing, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say a tough decision coming up, but maybe it won't be so tough.
Well, it won't happen overnight, Jim. No.
Ray and Jimmy, just want to let people know there is such a thing as Cinderella stories in racing. I can't thank Lee Curtis and Frank Cook enough for giving me the chance to mix with racing royalty, let alone win a Group 1. People like Frank and Christine Cook give battlers a chance to get involved in racing by leasing horses and thus no big early outlay. It's people like them that keeps racing ticking over. That comes in from our good mate Mick Fennick, who is the part owner of Lasquiddy Spirit and the winner of the Oaks on Thursday.
Well said, Mick.
Yeah, good on you, Mick. And did Mick give you a big bear hug? Is that right?
He was happy, and I was happy for him, and it was great. You know, so great scenes after the race, and people running around saying, "What is this horse? Where did it come from?" It was amazing, so it was great.
And what did Brenton Abdullah get fined? $1,000.
$1,000. I reckon a couple of those bows were.
I reckon it's worth it. It's worth it. He stood straight legged in the irons, and I know there's an element of danger to it. The horse could duck out or whatever, but. Gee, I thought, yeah, fair dinkum.
Best post-race celebration I've ever seen, I think. Hugh Bowman's Lion Tamer.
Beat Hugh Bowman's Lion Tamer. I know Bossy's done a few.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought that one took the cake. So Brenton Abdullah is the current champion when it comes to jockey celebration. 1353-53 is the open line number. It's 12 minutes to 7 here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more.
On the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
This spring racing carnival, it's easy to help support the CUB 55. The 55 CUB workers terminated without notice and then offer their jobs back for 65% less pay. Simply join the Spring Replacing Carnival and replace any CUB made beers with anything else. And celebrate the GGs without the CUBs. It'll not only send a message of support to the workers, it'll send a blunt message to CUB management and hopefully increase their odds of offering their jobs back. Visit the Boycott CUB page on Facebook for full details of which beers to avoid.
Authorised by Alan Hicks, ETU Australia.
Japan, Korea,
the best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
The Amarok Highline Runout Sale is on now. This top-of-the-line workhorse can be yours from only $53,990 drive away, including free 8-speed auto, plus $2,000 cash back. But you'll need to hurry, because with premium features like Bi-Xenon headlights, a rear-view camera, satellite navigation, and permanent four-wheel drive, you just know they won't be in the showroom for long. Offer ends December 31st. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Tell you what, Raymond, they're into Frankie Dettori. How does Frankie find his way from Tullamarine to Flemington and vice versa? That's from Barnaby.
He doesn't have to drive, probably, Jimmy.
No, he gets
picked up.
I've been saying for 10 years, Spinning Heel is the best horse I've seen when she won on Cox Plate Day. Dettori rode her that day and she still won. That's from Davo. Then we can get the... Any truth to the rumour that the producers of Lost are chasing Frankie for a guest appearance? That comes in from Herbert.
We've got some CDs to give away, Jim.
I'll tell you what. We've got some good ones here. Elvis.
Elvis, yeah.
With the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
They say, Jim, that's a very good album.
Right, you see, you're going to rely on that because you haven't listened to it, have you?
I haven't, no.
What have you been doing in Melbourne besides... Can you tell me, how many words have you written, do you reckon, in the course of the last 3 weeks?
I don't know, Jim. I shudder to think, but... I'm glad it's over, put it that way.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Kings of Leon, there's another one. All right, well, why don't we send the Elvis couple out to... Herbert sounds like an older name, so we'll send Elvis out to Herbert, all right?
I've been 18-year-old.
Yeah, probably. Davo, talking about Spinning Hill, we're going to send you Kings of Leon, so we'll send them that way. But we're lucky enough at the moment, Ray, to be joined on the line by Lee Curtis. Really emotional day on Thursday, incredible win. For the Squiddy Spirit, and we thought we'd love to have a chat with Lee. He's been good enough to get on the phone to us this morning. G'day, Lee.
G'day, boys.
Hey, has it sunk in yet?
No.
The last couple of days, Lee, been a bit of a whirlwind. You remember much of them?
It's okay. You know, obviously we had a rather large night on Thursday night, and then had to get on an early flight, and that was a disaster. But anyway, we made it.
Oh, Lee. Good morning, Lee. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us. And can you take us through the race? I know you and Brenton spoke about making the genuine staying test, but at what point of the race did you start to believe?
It's funny because I might be mad, but once she was about five in front down the back, I was starting to get a little bit confident because... Every race she's ever been in, when they go past the post, she's like five or six lengths in front, 100 metres past the post. So she never gets tired. You cannot make her tired. Even last start at Kembla, any other horse would have got beat 100 metres. But, she came again when it was time to lie down. And so, you had this theory that you can virtually spend as much fuel in the race as you like. Just keep the afterburners going, and she won't get tired. She just keep batting away at the same pace.
Yeah.
So that was all about. It was just all about breaking them up and just getting them off the bit. At 1,000 at the half mile, and that.
How much did you rely on Brenton to work out, you know, just how he should pace the horse and, you know, what sort of gap he's looking at and you know, do you have very definite plans around that, or do you say, look, you know, just go and see how she runs?
It's funny, Nathan Snow, who's an advisor to Brenton, come out with a good one. He said, if you're in front and you think you're going too fast, just go faster.
Well, yeah. she outstayed him, Lee. Lee, I've got to take you back to the Fernhill Handicap, which has turned out to be a fantastic form race. Prize Icon won that day. And you said after that race, I'm setting this filly for Victoria Oaks.
Yeah, I got it right for once.
You did. What was it about her, mate, that made you think, well, once she can save the trip, because she's bred to be an Oakley Plater.
Yeah, that's right. Excuse me. Look, I took her over to the two-year-old trials. She had just had so much class to me. Mm. And, you know, I probably should have put her on a clock before I took her over because she got beat a furlong. But she just had the class all along to go and do, you know, to be in these sort of races. But she just, we subsequently learned that, you know, she just hasn't got this turn of foot and she didn't get it. So she's just so down and, you know, you just think you're training as a Beagle or a Sir Tristram or something, you know. Yeah. You don't think you're training a Beneteau out of a general and a Dingmare, for sure.
Mm. Oh, there was a great quote from Frank Cook after the race. He said, I told Lee to get me a Golden Slipper winner, and now we've won the Oaks.
Yeah,
is that
right,
a compliment? Is that a compliment, Lee?
I don't know. I don't think it's that.
I like Lee's quote though, Jimmy, when he said, "Well, she can't sprint if she doesn't stay. We're in trouble."
Yeah,
that's good.
Frank said that Lee bought me a sprinter. So we won the Crown Oaks by sprinting the whole way.
Yeah. Very good. Hey, what's it mean for the stable, Lee? I know you've had Group 1 success previously, but what's it mean for your stable, this win?
Well, Jimmy, it's everything, mate. It's, you know, I think when I won my other Group 1 race, I was a bit young and stupid, and I didn't realise the significance of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, you know, it's sort of like... you can really, it's brought everyone on, you know, like the family and the staff at home, they're all just going crazy, and all the other owners and just friends and that, and, you know, it just really brings you on. And I think people sort of, you know, can stand up, put their chest out a bit and say, well, you know, I'm in this stable, let's train this great winner, you know, so the guy must have some idea what he's doing.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Hey, Lee, what about going forward? I know she has a good break now, the Oaks in the autumn, and... why not aim for the Sky again and Melbourne Cup next spring?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's all we've got. You know, we're going to go for the AJC Oaks, obviously. And I don't think she had about 6 or 7 runs this time, and she wouldn't have as many as that. I'd start her off in longer races.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, put her out and sort of try and aim for that. I mean, it's a dream, but... so was the VRC Oaks, I guess.
Mm. Brenton's celebration was a good one.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best ever. I mean, you know, you watch social media, it's just everywhere. You know, it's all over the place. Everyone's talking about it. You know, I mean, you know, Stuart's, I think the Stuart's are just part of the theatre. They know they have to give him a fine.
Yeah.
He goes through the motions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They probably enjoyed it too, secretly.
I think so, absolutely. Hey, you okay, Lee? You might have caught a little bit of a flu or something. The voice is not so good there, is it? Everything all right?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Maybe have a little delay or something.
You want to go on a Thoroughbred Weekly, having you this morning, Lee?
Yeah, that'll be good.
We better let you go so you get ready. Hey, Lee, look, thanks for joining us. More importantly, congratulations Thursday. It was a great theatre after the race and one of the more popular big race winners of the carnival. Congratulations again, Lee.
When I go on that TV today, I'll be like the Queensland Premier with the person doing the sign language next to me.
The boys are probably...
I think you can say that, Lee. I think we can let you get away with that.
I think Greg Raddy's probably listening from the drive down thinking, hopefully Curtis is... the boys fix it up in a couple of hours.
Yeah, you solved one question. At least they know you're going to turn up, so that's good.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Good on you, Lee. See you later.
You know what? That might be television worth watching, I reckon.
Oh, it always is, Jim.
Oh, of course, of course. But this week, more than ever, Raymond.
No, it was great, great season.
More than ever.
And a very popular win, you know. And I think it's a mark of a man, too, when a lot of the trainers made a point of going across to congratulate Lee Curtis after the race, because they would have known what that Group 1 win would have meant to a trainer who, as Lee said, doesn't get that many opportunities, but gee, he made it count, didn't he, Jim?
It's a little bit of like, you know, in the Shire, having lived down there, now people very proud to be Shark supporters.
Jim, it's a year of the fairy tales. The Cubs. Lee Curtis.
Cavaliers.
Leicester City.
Leicester City.
It's all happened.
Morning, boys. How about a play a song for Frankie Dettori? He loves anything from the Drifters. Or the Crash Test Dummies, I hear.
Elvis coming that way.
That's from Manly Man Al. That's pretty good, Manly Man Al.
Elvis CD for Manly
Man
Al.
We've got Elvis. We've got this one too. Party themes of 2016 from the Supercars.
Okay.
Manly Man Al strikes me as that type of guy too. So
coming his way.
Yeah, we're going to send that out. Featuring Peking Duck. So there you go.
One of your favourites, Jimmy.
I know how much you love Peking Duck, Raymond. I know how much
At the Red Emperor in Melbourne. Little plug there.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Another one. Tim Clark after the news.
Australia will discuss when the postponed visit of President Joko Widodo can be rescheduled. Mr. Widodo deferred his trip on Saturday after a mass protest on the streets of Jakarta the previous evening turned ugly. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says that during a phone call with the President, he expressed Australia's regret but understood the need for Mr. Widodo to remain at home for the time being. Firefighters continue to battle dozens of bushfires across New South Wales, with hot and windy conditions hampering their efforts. More than 1,100 firefighters spent yesterday battling 65 bushfires across the state, with two emergency warnings issued, then lifted for fires near Cessnock and Port Stephens. The Rural Fire Service says the state could continue to experience similar hot and windy weather until a cool change on Wednesday. Tasmanian police are investigating the death of a person overnight in what appears to be a caravan fire. The person's identity is yet to be formally confirmed, with forensic identification results likely to take some days. There is no evidence at this early stage of the investigation to suggest the cause of the fire at Tunnock was suspicious or the person's death. A 21-year-old man is in hospital after being shot in the abdomen at Nambucca Heads on the New South Wales north coast. Police were called to an address in the town about 12:30 this morning to find the man outside a unit block with a single gunshot wound. He was taken to Coffs Harbour Hospital in a stable condition. Police are looking for two unidentified offenders who reportedly fled the scene in a dark-coloured vehicle. To the US presidential race, and Donald Trump is hitting up four states across three time zones as he seeks to close the gap on Hillary Clinton, claiming his opponent doesn't have the energy needed to be president.
She has no energy. You know, you need energy to help this country. Like, for instance, I'm going to be doing five or six of these every day. You need energy here, folks. She goes home and she goes to sleep.
Hillary Clinton holds a precarious average national lead of 1.8, but is under threat in a number of swing states. Back home, and a new national survey on the nation's emotional well-being shows mateship is what makes Australians happy, and the over 65s are the happiest. The Australian Psychological Society survey found people who connect with family, socialise with colleagues, and are actively involved in their local community are the happiest people in Australia. Those aged over 65 or older scored higher levels of well-being and lower levels of loneliness and negative emotions than the rest of the population, while younger people who spent a lot of time on social media felt more lonely and unhappy. Detectives in Queensland are investigating the armed robbery of a food outlet in Surfers Paradise last night. Three men entered the venue on Beach Road around 7:35, where one of the men has threatened a male employee, claiming he was armed with a knife and demanding money. The 17-year-old employee complied and handed over a sum of cash. The men fled on foot towards Peninsula Drive. Anyone with information should contact Crime Stoppers. Also in news, a 51-year-old motorcyclist from Lake McDonald in Queensland is in a critical condition in hospital after crashing his bike into a barbed wire fence along Gap Road at Cedar Pocket yesterday afternoon. This is Air News. To Supercars, Brad Jones Racing engineers have spent all night rebuilding Jason Bright's number 8 car after it was nudged off the track by young driver Chris Pither at 180 kilometres an hour, slowing as he flew through the grass and into the wall in Auckland. 43-year-old Bright walked away without needing to seek medical advice, complaining only of a sore shoulder. In cricket, South Africa entered day 4 at 6 for 390, an overall lead of 388. The heat was scorching yesterday, with the mercury reaching 37 degrees and the pitch at the Wacker Ground cracking and deteriorating. Proteas batsman JP Duminy, who scored 141 in South Africa's second innings, said the cracking pitch would also play into his team's favour once Australia's run chase begins, while Aussie Steve Smith said he's been surprised by the reverse swing that's been seen.
The ball was reversing. I think it's been a pretty big player during this game for both sides. I think it's the first time I've ever seen the ball reverse at the Wacker, so very uncharacteristic, but when the ball's reversing, you've got to try and use your quicks for as long as you can and make the most of the ball while it's going.
Vexed Melbourne Victory coach Kevin Muscat believes referee Chris Beath simply made a mistake in missing David Carney's handball goal, which has sparked renewed calls for a fifth official in the A-League. Carney scored a second-half brace off the bench to drive Sydney FC to a 2-1 win over Victory, but his equaliser was marred by controversy. Replays showed the ball had struck the former Socceroos arm as he brought it down for a left-footed finish. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, sunny, winds northwesterly 25 to 30 k's, turning southwesterly 20 to 30 k's in the late morning. Jimmy, we're heading for a top in Sydney today of 25 degrees, sunny, 0% chance of rain. What about at Annandale and up at Armidale?
Annandale, would you believe it, also 25 degrees, same as Sydney. Can't believe that, Raymond.
Funny about that.
Sunny in Armidale, a little bit chilly. Overnight temperatures, minimum of 4 degrees, a maximum today of 22 degrees in Armidale.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the 2015 Epsom Handicap. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And winks. Wow.
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet this spring when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab. We love a bet. Replays available on all New South Wales races. Gamble responsibly.
The champion stakes and lift up the fight.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain and secures his sixth victory in the 1000.
Jennings, he cuts back in, he's going for the line, he's going. Jennings gets in the score and win the Origin, you would think.
One man to go into the Gardner Straight they come. Mark Marquez surely now is going to win here in Australia. Jorge Lorenzo will be in second place. Marquez wins.
There we are. It's Serena Williams again. 14 years after that first victory here. Grand Slam number 22. Irresistible, majestic. And the judgment of history will surely be that she was in a class of her own.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mongoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Speaking of Serena Williams, Jamaica just didn't run the trip, Raymond, in the Melbourne Cup.
Didn't get the 3,200 metres, Jim. And,
yep.
But they think they haven't ruled out having another crack at it next year, but I think a race like the BMW is ideal for her in the autumn in Sydney.
Nil all in this test match, just into the third minute at Rico Arena at Coventry. Doesn't look a big crowd there for a double header too. They'll probably be... I know it's not rugby league territory, but they'll be a little bit disappointed with that. Just to give you an update of the team that's out there, Michael Morgan is actually starting at 5'8 with his North Queensland Cowboys teammate Jonathan Thurston at halfback. So the bench for Australia is this: Shannon Boyd, James Maloney, David Clemmer and Sam Thaiday.
No Matt Moylan, Jim.
Matt Moylan has missed out. He was named in that 17, but Darius Boyd is the fullback. So there you go.
Yeah, particularly perturbed this morning, Jim.
Oh, dear. What's up, Raymond?
Our good friend Trent Langscale, who's as reliable as the sun coming up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
He gets here before the security guards get to this joint. nowhere to be seen. Hasn't been side of Nobbies this morning, Jim.
Well, of course, last week he covered himself in glory whilst wearing the same gear on Sunday morning that he did on Saturday. So that might give you an insight into the lifestyle of Trent Langscar.
Are you saying he might have hit the wall, Jim?
Could have.
Could have
hit the wall. Yeah. Hey, didn't hit the wall yesterday in the two-year-olds race at Canterbury. Very impressive winner for Michael Friedman. Teaspoon. Tell us more about it. Have a chat this morning. Michael's been good enough to join us online. G'day, Michael.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Congratulations on the win of Teaspoon. I guess it's a good one, too, and that, well, he's the outgoing chairman now, isn't he, John Massara? You give him a call and he decides to give you a horse and you have a win with it first up.
Yeah, it was a big thrill. You know, obviously, Arrowfield stud, very big players in the industry here, so it was nice to be able to get one, firstly, to train for Arrowfield, and then obviously to win with the first start. It was, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, good morning, Michael. Congratulations. She looks a natural, doesn't she, Teaspoon? Does everything right.
Yeah, she's sort of been like that from day one, Ray. She's just been a very quick learner, and she's coped with the rigours of, I suppose, you know, two-year-old racing at this time of year really well. And, you know, I think there's a little more to come from her too, potentially, because she's still physically a little bit on the weak side, and I think a bit of time off now, hopefully to give her the time that she needs to mature a bit. She's you know, quite a promising filly heading into the autumn.
Okay, so that was the next question, Michael. What is the plan? So tip her out now and bring her back and start looking at some of these bigger races.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of, she was probably ready to run, you know, nearly 3 weeks ago, but I sort of picked this race out because I felt it may be slightly softer than a couple of the two-year-old races that we've had previously. So she's sort of had to mark time for the last 3 weeks, and you know, she's coped with it so well. She's got a great temperament, and she has been up for a little while. So I think a little break now for 4 or 5 weeks would be really good for her, and then give us the chance to get her back and potentially aim her at some of those, you know, two-year-old races in the autumn.
Of the two-year-olds, Mike, you must be happy where your team's going, because you've had runners in most of the two-year-old races we've had so far this season. They've been competitive from Bowerman right at the start on day one right through now to this filly. Dar had another one comes to mind. They're all racing well, and that's obviously the hope of your side, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. It's something that I've been sort of focusing on a little bit, you know, being back here for my first crack at it. And, you know, it's no secret that, you know, the majority of my team are, you know, two-year-olds. So it is something that I've been focusing on over the past few weeks. And it's nice to sort of, I guess, come back and put myself in a position where, you know, you're competitive in some of these two-year-old races, because probably more so than Melbourne, Sydney does, you know, appear to be very sort of two-year-old focused when the two-year-old races start coming around. So I guess it's important to sort of get amongst it and show potential clients that you know, you've got some idea of what you're doing with two-year-olds.
Everyone keeps talking about how tough and competitive the market is in Sydney. I don't think it's much different in Melbourne either, but do you feel like you've made the right decision in choosing Sydney after your success in Singapore, Michael?
I do. You know, and probably for a lot of different reasons. You know, as much on the home front as anything, I think, you know, my family's really settled here now. We're really enjoying being in Sydney. My kids are happy at school here, and my wife's certainly enjoying living in Sydney too. So I think on the home front, just as importantly as work-wise. But on the business front, yeah, I think I've been very fortunate to get some really good support year one. From some terrific owners, and yeah, it's nice to, as I said, to sort of get out of the blocks with a few of these young horses, and you know, hopefully from here we can build on it and go back to the sales starting in January and try and start to put together a bigger team.
Yeah, exactly. Michael, the move also from Rose Hill to Randwick a couple of months ago now, and is it like wearing an old shoe being back at Randwick?
Yeah, it is a bit. You know, it feels a bit more like home. Yeah. You know, I had no complaints with Rose Hill. It was, the facilities out there are terrific, but just the logistics of, you know, with my kids at school over the other side of town and commuting out there every day was starting to get a bit tiresome. But yeah, now we're at Randwick and got a really good stable set up there, and we live pretty close by, so it does feel like home again, and
yep.
Really enjoying being there and looking forward to continuing to build from what we've done so far.
Well, the two-year-old team looks strong, 2016-17. Let's hope that continues. Teaspoon, one to put in the little black books for all the punters out there. Michael, congratulations on that win, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Friedman there. Teaspoon was the winner, $6.50 there for him. Ipso facto, too, running third for Mark Newnham. So Mark's doing well, too, in his new career.
Michael also had a nice winner on Cup Day 2 at Randwick, Jim. Just one for listeners to put in their black books, a horse called Adato. He'll go on and win more races as well.
Blake Ferguson scored the first try in the game against Scotland. Looks like Blake Ferguson has scored the first try for Australia in the game against the Kiwis as well. High fives all round from the Australian side, playing on the right side too, mm-hmm. Blake Ferguson. He's got the try there, so that's his third try in four test matches. Australia take an early 4-0 lead in this test match of the Four Nations up against the Kiwis at Rico Arena at Coventry. Our talk topic, Raymond, g'day guys, and we're talking about extreme weather conditions for sporting events. The Chooks versus the Dragons in the Anzac Day clash in the hail.
That's
they all
right.
went off.
Yeah, that's right.
They did all go off. That was 2015.
Yeah.
That was end of the world type scenes, wasn't it?
At the SFS, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Allianz Stadium, we're allowed to mention them as a sponsor. Yeah. Michael Morgan got the try assist, a really good cutout pass for him too. So he started well in this test match. He's getting a start alongside Jonathan Thurston, as we mentioned early. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Mate, we better take a break and then we're back with more.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
My husband lost his beer gut and now is happier and healthier than ever, thanks to the Manshake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
New Zealand Bloodstock's Ready to Run sale is in a league of its own.
Turn me loose in front, they hit the line, turn me loose!
Celebrating more than double the number of stakes wins of any comparable sale in the past four seasons, including 16 Group 1 wins in that time, where others have had none. The 2016 Ready to Run sale. With over 500 well-trained two-year-olds on offer, we'll see you at Karaka on the 16th and 17th of November. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Hey, Jimmy, you're paying attention?
Always.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. Jimmy Smith, what man?
The man from Mazda.
You got it.
Zoom, Penrith, zoom.
That's it. Penrith Mazda Centre is family-owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the BT50. The BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. Come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre Penrith with over 40 BT50s on display. At Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD 18808.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, you know sometimes in sport when you get in a roll and things just happen for you?
Well, I've heard about it. I've never done it.
I've had to say, has it ever happened? I don't know if it happened to me. Yeah,
right.
I'm trying to think of it, one isolated incident. But for this man, it happened yesterday. He had a terrific day, Tim Clark. 5 winners at Canterbury. And Tim's been good enough to join us. Tim, good morning. And is that sort of what happened, Tim? You got on a roll and things just started happening for you?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, it did. Obviously I went there with a nice book of rides, and you always hope that you can, you can ride a heap of winners, but pretty much 99% of the time it doesn't happen. yesterday it just, sort of everything I needed to happen. It just did. All the runs appeared when I needed them, and it was just one of those days where everything I did sort of turned into gold.
Are you superstitious at all, Tim? Did you get a sense of it? Did you get a feeling of, even before the meeting that today could have been the day?
Not at all. I'm a little bit superstitious, but I had no sort of inkling before the day. As I said, I was going there hoping if I could ride one or two, that'd be a good day. So, to get five is just Yeah, I couldn't really believe it, really.
Tim, what's the banter like in the jockeys' room? You've racked up three, you've racked up four, when you're going into the last, so the boys having a bit of a dig at you, so to speak, when you go out to ride in for a dig, and what was said afterwards in the jockeys' room?
Yeah, there's obviously lots of congratulations afterwards. Beforehand, bit of a joke, you know, give someone else a go and that sort of stuff, but plenty of handshakes and high fives afterwards.
Mm. All right, let's have a look at some of these winners. The Randvet was impressive. Grundersite for John O'Shea and Team Godolphin. She loves Canterbury. She's only a slight frame, but it's an incredible horse that's building this record. Can't win anywhere else, but can't lose at Canterbury just about.
Yeah, that's right. I think he's 5 from 6 there now.
That's right,
He's building a phenomenal record there. Just had the run of the race and said, like, even though he got the split and got the rails run, it wouldn't have mattered. He still would have been good enough if he had to come around the leader and still would have won well. So, no, he's come back in a rich vein of form. And, I don't know where they go now. There's probably not a lot of Saturday meetings at Canterbury coming up for him to run it. So he's going to have to go somewhere else and try and win.
Oh, I think Darren Boodman mentioned, what was it, in December, there's another one.
Okay.
They looked at, it's in the Telegraph.
Yeah. Canberra Classic or something like that might be.
The night meetings,
Boxing Day or the day after.
I think that's it, yep.
I tell you one horse, Tim, I think I'm a massive rap for. I know Joe Pryde's got big plans for him, Mr. Manhattan. He's a big brute of a thing and he's got a lot of ability.
Yeah, he's always shown he's got a stack of ability. And he's sort of got a great record as well. Sort of a bit typical of one of Joe's sprinters too, you know. Physically, he's big and strong and, he looks a little bit like a Terra Vista type of horse. But, he had a beautiful run yesterday, knuckled down really well. He was coming off a strong first up win and, he's put two together now and he looks as though he's come back in great form.
Second straight win for Reincarnate as well. Beat the track record. So sizzling time, although there might have been a little bit of assistance there from the wind. Out from the 1200 to the 1250. Was 1400 an opportunity there for Reincarnate, Tim?
Yeah, I think he will. He might even appreciate 1400 where he can really dictate like he did at Randwick two starts ago. But he showed yesterday that, he generally races just off the speed and had a beautiful run behind the two leaders. As you said, they rolled along at a good tempo and he had the last shot at them. But he ran through the line really strong and I think a couple of wins, it's going to do the horse's confidence the world of goodies. He'll find another race in the next coming weeks and should be hard to beat again. He's done a good job because he went up in the weights a lot yesterday. Mm,
he jumped up 6 kilos and still won. Tim, that five-win haul now takes you to 22 wins for the season. You're equal top on the Sydney Premiership with Brenton Avdala. Apart from the 22 wins, you've ridden 23 seconds and 18 thirds, so you're putting your horses in the frame regularly. What are your ambitions for the season? Is it top five? Is a premiership a realistic chance for Tim Clark?
Oh, probably not. But as you said, like a top five is probably a more realistic goal. Just a matter of keep working hard and trying to make the most of the opportunities I get. Working closely with my manager John Shell and sort of just trying to pick out the best options for each race and we're having a good run at the moment, but I think it's going to be hard. Like James, obviously stable rider for Godolphin and Huey does obviously a lot of Chris Waller's riding, so them two boys would obviously always be very hard to beat in the premiership, but really, obviously, proud to be just sort of be equal leader at the moment, and you know, just hopefully the role can continue.
Yeah.
Racing today at Warren and at Armidale. Don't think you've got any ride. Fair trip to those two parts of New South Wales.
I hope you got a day off.
I was going to say, do you get a day off, Tim? And if you do, what do you do on that day?
Yeah. Obviously, it is nice to have a day off today. Yeah, we, you know, with the race meetings and trials and that, we're the track work, it's a pretty busy week, so nice to have a day off and spend a bit of time with the family and, you know, go have a bit of lunch and that sort of thing. So just relax mainly.
Yeah, well, fantastic. We'll do that, Tim, after a terrific day yesterday and a great start to the season. 5 wins at Canterbury yesterday, and thanks so much for joining us this morning on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
No worries. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Timmy.
Timmy Clark there with the 5 winners at Canterbury. Incredible effort. Great work. It's 10-0, Kangaroos. Jonathan Thurston gives the ball Ray and then he wants it back again. And he got the ball back and he scored the try. So in the 18th minute, New Zealand on the attack here. But it's the Kangaroos leading 10 points to nil in this test match at Coventry. And speaking of, we've got listeners all over the world. You know that. We have our spies out everywhere, Raymond. And we've got a man over there at Rico Arena watching the test match as we speak. Yeah, Shane is in
Shane.
The stands.
Okay.
G'day, Shane.
Hey. How you going, boys?
Good morning, Shane. Well, good evening.
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, terrific. How are the Aussies playing?
Look, mate, I think they're going really well. It's bloody cold here. I've never been to Canberra to watch a game, but I tell you what, I reckon it's lively. You haven't looked at the Australian bloke with the thermals on, eh?
I love the way you were surprised that it was cold in Coventry in November.
Well, I am a bit surprised because I've been here for a week and it's been some lovely weather, actually. It hasn't been the temperature in Australia, but the sun's been out, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Jim, I was going to say, Shane, can you set the scene for us? I can't actually watch the game down here in Melbourne, but Jimmy's sort of talking me through it. But he did say the crowd looked a little bit light on.
They were expecting a crowd of... I did a bit of homework for you, Ray, here.
Yeah.
They were expecting a crowd of about 22,000 and walk-ups, as I spoke in my guy earlier. And I think it's been a bit lean on that. There was probably a few more here earlier for the Scotland-England game, and then they've sort of thinned out a little bit over that. But I would think looking around now, there's probably about 18 here, but probably a bit less. I'm not a student of crowd numbers, but it does look, the 32 crowd stadium is probably 18 or less.
Okay, 32,000 capacity and 18,000 in there. Okay. Well, Shane, are you taking another Four Nations games whilst you're over there?
No, mate. I'm over here to work, so I just happened to, be passing through the town at the right time, you know, like it just happened to be here and it's, I'm sitting in the Australian section, but it's a bit thin in the Australian section because I don't think a lot of people actually got the memo.
Yeah. Well, unless you work for a rival bookmaking firm, you better give your company a plug.
No, I won't do that because they probably don't know I'm here.
Smart play, Shane.
You know what I can do? I can tell you, Ladbrokes is sponsoring this tournament, but they won't give you a free bet either.
Neither will we after that, Shane. Get off.
Get on you, Shane.
Get on you, Shane.
How good's that, eh?
There's our man, brought to you by tab.com.au.
Jimmy Smith, can I just say two very important things have happened.
Oh, go ahead, Roman.
The world's back on its axis because Trent's arrived. Thank you, Trent.
Hang on. Yep. What's he wearing?
Oh, he's all dressed up. He's ready to go. Looks like he's got a corporate day on today. And he's turned the TV over, which I couldn't manage to do, but he's managed to find the Kangaroos for me. So I can now watch, and the good guys are on the attack, Jimmy. So I'm back in the game.
Very important. Good work. 1353-53, the open line number. Ron is there. G'day, Ron.
Hey, Jimmy. Ray, how are you?
Good morning,
very well,
Ron.
Mate.
The weather conditions in sporting events.
Yes.
Yeah, well, back in the 50s, before you blokes arrived, the poor old Aussie batsman had to face a typhoon. In the,
Frank Tyson.
Had it up against Tyson.
Yes, very good. Very good.
I've got two more. There's any boxer that went into the ring against Reuben Carter faced a hurricane.
Yes. Nice.
Yes.
You like that one? But what about poor old Sunline? ran straight into a very strong northerly, but strangely enough, came from the west.
Elvis CD's got to go Ron's way, too, Ron. Seriously. Oh, intercept here. Oh.
Yeah, intercept here. It's Jordan Rapana.
Inglis
slips out, but he taps him. And he's tackled about 35 metres out from the Kangaroos'
Elvis
line.
Elvis CD for Ron.
Elvis CD, and we're going to throw in a party anthem CD as well. That was outstanding, Ron.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah, it fantastic. Good on you, mate. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. So, extreme weather conditions. We're looking for that this morning. I'll tell you what, that call's going to be hard to beat, Ron. Typhoon Tyson, Hurricane Carter, and the very strong northerly that Sunline ran into. Excellent call from Ron. Now, 1353, 53 is the open line number. 28 minutes past 7 this morning. Just an update on that score again. In down to the 22nd minute. It's the Kangaroos 10, lead the Kiwis 0.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy an air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, LG and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card, up to $200, depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
The old ute's looking a bit tired, Pete.
Yeah, I know how it feels.
But with Christmas around the corner and no cash flow in January, I'll just have to wait to get a new one.
Why wait when right now you can get a new Photon Tonland ute with no repayments for 3 months, no deposit and 3.99% interest per annum. Tonland's driveway, tons of time to pay finance offer.
Wow, a new ute, Pete. Didn't wait after all, eh?
No, didn't have to.
Available to approved business applicants only. Offer ends 31st 12/16. Terms and conditions at photonmotors.com.au.
On the line is Stuart, who found love earlier than expected.
That's right. Yeah, it was just after the third leg of the quaddy.
Go on.
Well, I was 3 from 3 and even had a roughie in there, but the last leg had me nervous, the quaddy killer. So I went for Tab's quaddy cash out and still came out in front.
That'll settle the nerves. If you love an early collect, cash out of your quaddy this spring carnival with Tab's quaddy cash out. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. We've got Phil Moss on the line. We're going to talk some football, obviously, but we want to talk about our talk topic for the day as well, extreme weather conditions. So we'll put Mossy on the spot. Morning, Phil.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, well, we're just thinking about some of the extreme weather conditions that sports teams have faced over the years. We know that in the A-League, especially when you're playing in Perth in January, you can get some very hot conditions. Mm. Is there any other ones that spring to mind for you?
Oh, mate, I think there's a business shirt that's become iconic with Australian football that Ange Postecoglou was wearing.
Oh!
In the recent, World Cup qualifier.
Of course, a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. It's being auctioned on Fox Sports, actually, funnily enough, for charity. They framed it and he signed it. So, it was, let's just say he won the wet T-shirt competition.
I was going to say, has it been washed before being framed?
I don't think they have.
No. Fantastic.
Authenticity, they call it.
That's exactly right. Hey, Phil, back to the Brisbane-Melbourne City game on Friday. Jamie McLaren gets the winner for them, and that's becoming a fortress up there, Suncorp Stadium, for Brisbane, isn't it?
It really is. 8 wins, 2 draws in their last 10 at Suncorp. So Johnny Aloisi's done a magnificent job in what every coach wants to do, and that's turn your home ground into a fortress. So, it's becoming an intimidating place to go for opposition teams. And Jamie McLaren, full credit to him. 10 days ago, Ange Postecoglou came out, said, score goals and I'll pick you in the Australian team. He scored 2 in 2, and he's on a flight to Bangkok for the Socceroos today. So Ange's followed through with his encouragement, and Jamie's done what he's paid to do, and that's score goals.
I know it's impossible to measure, Phil, but you just wonder, the fact that you were selected and then he continued to score goals, it's not unusual, is it?
No, it's not, Jimmy. It's, the placebo effect is massive in our game. And once your confidence is up, and, he was getting into good positions in the previous rounds. And I remember against Central Coast Mariners the week before he scored his first. He hit the crossbar. He was getting into good positions all day. So you knew it was just a matter of time. And, he's going to be good for our country because he gives Ange another option in that number nine role, and he's got that pace, genuine pace, that gets off the shoulders of defenders and causes problems.
Mm. Hey, Phil, unlike Brisbane, Wellington just couldn't buy a win at home. They had six straight losses. They finally turned around against Newcastle yesterday.
Yeah, and again, Ray, it was sort of just a matter of time with their strike force. If you look at the likes of Krishna, Barbaroussis, Finkler, McGlinchey, they've got an abundance of attacking talent, but they just didn't seem to be working in tandem. They didn't seem to be putting in, 110% that you need. And their commitment was questioned the previous week when they lost 6-1 to Melbourne Victory. So they came out firing. They started very well yesterday, and Krishna got two first half goals, and they'll be tough at home now that they've got that monkey off their back. But they certainly still need to improve a hell of a lot if they're going to threaten to make the top six.
I watch a lot of the highlights of the A-League. Roy Krishna is one guy that he just sort of plays a little bit differently. Phil, is he hard to, when you're up against him, is he hard to mark up on?
I've never had the difficult task of actually marking him, Jimmy, myself. I can imagine that he would run rings around me personally, but no, look, he is. He's very quick, very direct, but he just finds the right time to make those runs as well, and Ernie doesn't play with an out-and-out number nine, so Krishna sort of, and Barbaroussis players sort of split number nines, if you like, so they play with that false nine with Finkler in midfield and McGlinchey, but certainly, if you can get the service right, he's almost impossible to defend because of his pace, and he's quite a powerful bully as well.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, the role keeps going for Sydney FC. 5 games, 5 wins, 13 goals for, 1 against. They've beaten Melbourne Victory 2-1. I must say, Phil, I haven't got a chance to see this game or the highlights from last night yet, but obviously a lot of controversy, particularly around the handball.
There was. I mean, I actually went out to the game. I sat in row Z all by myself and really studied this one. And it was an intriguing battle. It was a real arm wrestle. Either team could have won on the night. Really, Melbourne Victory should have been 3-0 up by half time. They had Rojas missed an absolute sitter from right in front. They had the penalty from Berisha that went straight into the cove, which brought probably the loudest cheer of the night. And of course, they scored with Mitch Austin, who's a Manly boy, a Sydney boy, and came back to haunt his, not his old club, but his hometown club. And then second half, Graham Arnold earned his money at half time because what he said had a magical effect on the players, and they came out and they bossed the second half. They fully deserved their points in the end. But as I said, Victory let their opportunity to win the game slip in the first half.
And what was your thoughts on the handball?
Yeah, look, 100% handball. And yeah. I don't know how Chris Beath missed it. He was in great position. The Fox cameras slowed it down and isolated the fact that he was right in the perfect position to see it. He just must have taken his eyes off it for a split second and missed it, and that's where video, referee will play such a huge part in our game once it's introduced later this season.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, a couple of big games today. The first one, if we can talk about Adelaide versus Central Coast Mariners. I think Adelaide are about ready to start to get on a bit of a roll, aren't they, Phil?
Probably a fair call, Ray. They've won 7 of the last 8 against the Mariners, and we all know that the Mariners' history in the last 18 months hasn't been great, but Paul Akon certainly instilled some renewed character in the team this season. You can see there's that fighting spirit that's come back, and let's be honest, that's what's made the Mariners so famous. They've always punched above their weight and had that never-say-die attitude, so that needs to a bit of quality needs to be added to that fighting spirit, and then they can start to get a few results. But I'm tipping Adelaide at home for this one. I just think that, as you said, Ray, they're starting to find some form, and there's a lot of players out for Adelaide, big players. Karuska, Thirio, Enrique are all sitting in the grandstand. Jordan Elsie's out for the season. Maroney's yet to come back from an Achilles, so they've got a lot of quality in the grandstand. Once they get some of those players back, then watch out, they'll make their charge, but let's hope it's not too late.
Yeah.
$1.45 Adelaide up against the Central Coast Mariners, $7, $4.25 for the draw. Perth Glory, I think Kenny Lowe's still up in the grandstand for this game against Western Sydney. How do you see it playing out, Phil?
Oh, you got to love Kenny. This week he's come out and smashed his players for the result last week, but it's not my fault. They're the ones out on the pitch. He's just such a character. And that's Kenny's way of snapping his players out of whatever went wrong last week and getting them focused for this week. And look, I think I think Perth will get the result over there. They've got a fantastic squad, and that's taking nothing away from the Wanderers, but in Perth, they'll be very, very hard to beat.
How are the Wanderers travelling, Phil?
Up and down, mate. Mm. I mean, they've got some quality as well. I've got a big question mark over, you know, their defence. At the back, I just don't think they've been as rock solid as they have in previous seasons. And, you know, they haven't got, in Andrew Redmayne, they've got a good goalkeeper, but is he a number one who's really going to lead them to silverware? The jury's still out for me. Mm. Fantastic guy, Andrew Redmayne, and he's got a future, but, you know, big teams need big goalkeepers to win things. So watch this space, but they're certainly trying to claw their way into some consistent form, but it's just not there yet.
Mm. Let's go to the EPLs. A couple of big results coming through overnight. Chelsea 5-0 against an Everton team that had been travelling very well. Eden Hazard getting a couple of goals there, but this is the one that's interesting. Man City and Middlesbrough at home, Man City. They've dropped two competition points they would have been counting on there, and as a result of that, Chelsea go top of the Premier League.
That's right. Big opportunity loss for Manchester City, and you know, they obviously won't be happy with that result. But Chelsea, what a performance! And I looked at the stats: 21 shots to one, and 9 shots on target to 0. So it's not just commanding on the scoreboard. That's incredible performance, and one that will have their fans very excited. There's no doubt. And it wasn't that long ago Conte was under a bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And look at them go now, you know, they're finding their form and consistency. So who we got, Jimmy? Who's Manchester United? Let's see. Who do they play this weekend?
Hang on.
Liverpool have got Watford.
Swansea,
that's right. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting one, mate.
Mm. Swansea, Man United away, $1.70 that one. Liverpool... They've got Watford. They're at home. That's Anfield, I believe, is the name of their little ground.
Bucket list item.
As opposed to Old Trafford, which is massive. but they're a chance. So Arsenal gets the chance in their derby.
That's
against
a big game.
Yeah,
London derby.
They can go to the top of the ladder, and Liverpool can go to the top of the ladder too if they can get a win.
I must admit, I can't wait for this London derby. I think it's going to be an absolute rip-snorter. Harry Kane will be back from 7 weeks out with an ankle injury, and Pochettino said he will definitely be involved in the squad, whether that's from the start or off the bench. I'd take a guess and say it'll probably be off the bench after 7 weeks out, but you know, that certainly just adds another headline act to what should be an absolutely cracking London derby tonight.
Good on you, Phil. Fantastic as usual, and go the mighty Liverpool. Anfield, Jimmy, bucket list item there.
Well, I tell you what, there's going to be a massive game at Anfield in a couple of weeks' time, Phil.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah.
That's if Jose's doing a job by that stage.
No, you know what I'm talking about. It'll be the Kangaroos. It'll be the Kangaroos v someone in the Four Nations final.
Oh, you're talking about the squash ball. The football that someone sat on.
That's not bad, Matt. Hang on. You keep scoring points like this, Phil. We'll be rushing Andy Pascaletti's back from India. I know that.
Good on you, Phil.
Thanks,
so
Phil.
Much, mate.
Have a good day.
Have a great day.
See you, Phil.
Phil Moss there with all the latest from football. So there you go. When you and he get together, Ray, I mean, it just becomes a Liverpool-a-thon.
Have you been to Anfield, Jim?
Never been to Anfield.
Been
to Old Trafford.
Did you play at Old Trafford or just went and watched?
No, I just went. I'll tell you who I went to watch there. I went to watch Man United versus Tottenham Hotspur. United won 3-0. David Beckham scored from a dead ball.
Wow. Were they playing league games back then at Old Trafford or not?
Oh, yeah, they were, but only the big games, grand finals and so forth. They're playing the Challenge Cup final that year was at Murrayfield because Wembley was being rebuilt. Went to Old Trafford, and it was 11 o'clock kickoff. And in the crowd, we were sitting there in our seats. It was one of the directors of the Salford Reds, and he had 4 tickets to the game. So we went along with him, Howard, his name was. And we could see the crowd responding. The little boy in the crowd got an autograph signed, and he turned around to the crowd, and the crowd all responded. And the game was going on, but they were looking back into the stands. And we all think, what are they looking at there? It was Eric Cantona. Was in the crowd in a T-shirt and tracksuit pants, and it was just the year after he'd retired, and he came back for the presentation of the trophy, and there he was, the great Eric Cantona, and the crowd in that stand area turned around, turned their back on the football, and just started applauding Eric Cantona. Oh,
how about
it was,
that?
It was exceptional. Moment. That was great. So we got our money's worth just based on. Well, to be honest, we didn't pay for it, right?
Still had a good time.
Because the director Howard
haven't told Tanya yet. Lord, well, she knows about Lords, but I was hoping we could swing by Anfield when we're in England next year. So.
Oh, that'd be huge. Mm. Speaking of Lords, Jeff Lawson, third test that he played was at Lords. And he got himself a fifer, so got himself up on the board. Actually, he might have got a seven for. Yeah, the 81 tour.
Yeah.
So 7 for 81, and he got his name on the board there at Lords. We'll talk to him. He's our legend of the game today. We'll speak to him after 8:30. We're going to go to Michael Carayannis, halftime of this game. It's still 10-0. We're into the 34th minute, still 10-0 in this match. It's the Kiwis up against the Kangaroos, and Sean Kenny-Dow is now kicking, which gives you an understanding of what the Kiwis are doing with their last tackle options, straight down the throat of Darius Boyd at fullback. You better call now if you want to be part of the Event Cinemas quiz, please. Call now, 1353 53. If we could just get a score update, Raymond.
You'd ask me that. Is it 22-20 Jim Smith in front?
No, it's 23-21. Oh, so okay. Same margin. And I'd have to describe it, Ray, as a mini break. All right?
Fair enough.
So mini break. So if you want to be a part of the quiz.
The sweaty spirit. You've broken clear.
Yeah, that's right. I just hope Brendan Abdullah doesn't stand up on me and bow. Give us a call. We've got two Event Cinemas. The double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Prakash and the team out there. And word just coming through now.
Do you reckon Prakash listens to this segment, waiting for you to get word through?
I know he loves this. He loves the program, and he does love this segment more than any other. But
and word says what, Jim?
Word coming through now. Best Event Cinema in Asia Pacific. Asia Pacific. So things are on the up and up.
Reputation growing.
Things are on the up and up there for Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Of course, they did have that earlier issue with the fire with the popcorn. But don't worry. That's all been sorted out. 1353 53 is that open line number. Win for yourself a double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas. Call now for the Event Cinema quiz.
The king is back, and the global phenomenon continues. Elvis Presley, with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, presents The Wonder of You, featuring Suspicious Minds, Amazing Grace, and Always on My Mind. Elvis, with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, The Wonder of You, available now.
At USG Boral, we're the building materials manufacturer that offers more. And our legacy of supporting a job well done spans more than a century. It's why we created the first plasterboard. And it's why we developed the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia while upping its sag resistance. Was it easy? No. But neither is carrying heavy boards up three flights of stairs. See how we're supporting builders with products like our lightweight sheetrock plasterboard at usgboral.com.
This spring racing carnival, it's easy to help support the CUB 55. The 55 CUB workers terminated without notice and then offer their jobs back for 65% less pay. Simply join the spring replacing carnival and replace any CUB made beers with anything else. And celebrate the GGs without the CUBs. It'll not only send a message of support to the workers, it'll send a blunt message to CUB management and hopefully increase their odds of offering their jobs back. Visit the Boycott CUB page on Facebook for full details of which beers to avoid.
Authorised by Alan Hicks, ETU Australia.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, this is big. It is a knock-on from Jordan Rapana. He knocks down a pass from San Thaida. They could have gone to Valentine Holmes and a try.
Could have been try time.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a high-quality test match. Australia jumped out to a 10-0 lead, and then they've been under pressure a couple of times there. Isaac Luke just going short of the line, and Australia had a try disallowed at the other end as well. So it has been a good game of rugby league. 13-53-53 if you want to be part of the quiz. Who's going first, Raymond?
You can open the bowling, Jim.
I'll open the bowling. Okay, no problem. Christopher is on the line. G'day, Christopher.
Hello.
All right, mate. You're playing for me, and you've got the first question first up. Here we go. Who did Melbourne City play in the A-League on Friday night? Was it the Brisbane Roar, the Wellington Phoenix, or the Newcastle Jets?
The Brisbane Roar.
Solid start.
I like it. I like it, Christopher.
Christoph.
My mistake. Who do Illawarra Hawks play in the NBL today? Is it the Brisbane Bullets, the Perth Wildcats, or Melbourne United?
United.
Oh, solid start. Christoph's on the fly here, Jim.
Sound like a guess, Christoph, but I liked it. I liked it. Oh, here we go. Producer Jeremy's been in one of his special books again. Question three. In which month of 2017, Christoph, will the European Youth Table Tennis Championships be held?
Oh, no.
Is it June, July, or August?
Well, I was going to say January, but I'll go June.
You should have gone the other Jay.
Ah!
I wonder what Tanya'd say if I said, can we go to the European Youth Table Tennis Championships?
Look, you can go to Anfield, or you can go to the European Youth Table Tennis Championship. I'll tell you what, no word here as to where they're held, but we know they're in July.
You've got to admire Jeremy's, what's the word, Jimmy? He finds these things out of left field.
Boredom, that's one word you could use to describe it.
All right.
Anyway, well, you're right, two out of three for Christoph. Stay on the line, Christoph. You're up, Raymond.
Okay, Alan, you're there. Alan, good morning.
I'm there.
Okay, Alan, need two to tie, three to win. Very best of luck. Who do Adelaide United play in the A-League today? Is it the Central Coast Mariners, Perth Glory, or the Western Sydney Wanderers?
Mariners.
Solid start from my man, Alan. Okay, question number two, Alan. Who do the Sydney Kings play in the NBL, or who did the Sydney Kings play in the NBL overnight? Was it Melbourne United, Cairns Taipans, or New Zealand Breakers?
Taipan.
Solid, yeah. 64-57, the Taipans beat the Kings. Okay, question number three.
Here we go.
Oh, producer Jeremy at his best here, Jimmy. In which month of 2017 will the World Trampoline Championships be held? October, November, or December?
December.
Tie break. Okay.
It's Alan, an obvious time of year in my mind to have the trampoline championships in November. I think November and world champion.
Obvious for why, Jim.
Trampoline championships. I don't know.
Go hand in hand.
11th month and your two legs go up and down. Legs 11.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous, Tooves. It's
Where
not.
Are we going with this?
I don't know.
But Alan's still on the line.
Oh, Alan's still on the line,
yeah,
isn't
he? Yeah, Alan, we've got a tiebreaker question, mate, so the very best of luck. We'll try and get this back
this
on.
This is a circus.
Before we move on, we should talk about one-on-one and how good that show is, right?
You like it, do you,
I'm
Alan?
I'm a big fan. I'm wondering when Jimmy's going to get his show, 010. Because he's got nothing.
Does Alan win already, Jim? Is that how he gets the
Alan's been a loser for the long time. Live your life, Alan.
Can I give this poor guy a chance? Alan, this is a tiebreaker question. The very best of luck. What is the current world ranking of Cypriot tennis star Marcus Baghdatis?
34.
Okay. Stay on the line there, Alan. Back to you, James.
Stay on the line, Alan. If you'd like to drop off, do that as well. Christoph is there.
Say that.
Christoph.
Hello.
What is the current... You're in a tiebreaker here, Christoph. What is the current world ranking of Cypriot tennis star Marcus Baghdatis?
36.
Oh, 36 is the number,
37th, the answer.
Oh, no.
On a number of levels, Christoph, it makes me very happy that you have won that. Alan, tell your story, walking pal. You're out of there.
Hey.
Christoph.
Well done.
Okay, stay on the line, Christoph. We've got a double pass courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Prakash and the team out there are coming your way. So, yes, to give you the understanding, Cypriot tennis star Marcus Baghdatis is 37th. In the world currently. So Christoph wins with 36. Alan, pack 'em, buddy, 34 ain't cutting it for you. And as a result, forget mini break. It's an out-and-out break.
It is Lasquetti spirit now.
Lasquetti spirit. Go, Lasquetti. 24 to me, 21 to you, Roman. That, jeez, ladies and gentlemen, is how you run a quiz on a Sunday morning.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
That's about as good as it gets in the Smiths.
It's ridiculous. CD for Frankie Dettori. CD for Frankie Dettori. The Proclaimers. I will ride 500 miles.
Oh, that's outstanding. Which one? The Elvis CD or the... What's the other one, Jim, you got there?
We've got Party Anthems from Supercars.
Party Anthems might be that. Yeah.
We've got Barry Gibb in the Now.
I've heard they say... It's a very good album, Jim.
Barry Gibb's in the past would have been a good one, but I'm not sure about it in the Now. But anyway. Hey, boys, just heard Frankie Dettori's motivation song was The Angels' Take a Long Line. If that's true, he must have been listening to Mr. Damage last year. Manly Man Al. Manly Man Al's already got a couple of CDs.
He's in form this morning.
He is. Here's another one that's come in about our talk topic today, and that's in extreme weather conditions, playing sports in extreme weather conditions. Hi, Eddie from Glenfield here. The Melbourne Cricket Test of the 1970-71 season.
Yes.
The whole 5 days of play was washed out without a ball being bowled due to non-stop rain, which then led to the first ever one-day international cricket match.
Correct.
Being played at the MCG as some sort of make-up game.
That's 100% correct. That deserves a CD.
It does deserve a CD.
Correct. Yeah.
So Eddie from Glenfield, we'll be getting in contact with you. Oh, by the way, Raymond, we've still got all the King's horses to give away. Today, to the best caller today, all the King's horses.
Yeah. Ron would be hard to beat, wouldn't he?
It's a very good point. Yeah, Ron, actually, if you've got a good idea, save it for next week, because Ron's going to be very hard to beat this week.
That's the challenge to beat it, though. That's the challenge.
Well, there you go, 13:53:53. Right now, time to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone. Racing today in New South Wales at Warren and Armidale. We'll start with Warren. The weather there is fine. The track a good 4. Rail is true and there are 12 scratchings. Race 1, take out 15, Princess Keeping, and 16, Jonah Hex, 15 and 16. Race 2, number 2, Hand Timed, and 12, Sovereign Default, 2 and 12 from the second. To race 3, take out 6, Mina Mahal, and 15, Dragon's Reign, 6 and 15. Race 4, number 15, Nipper's Destiny, and 16, Kangaroo Ted, 15 and 16 from race 4. Races 5, 6 and 7 are clear. Go to race 8, take out 1, Outside, 10, Pixie Gaze, 17, Decades, and 18, Murta Cape. 1, 10, 17 and 18 from race 8 at Warren. Armidale, the weather is fine, the track a good 3, rail true, and just the 4 scratchings. Races 1, 2 and 3 are clear. Go to race 4, take out 7, Kailami, 7 from race 4. Race 5 is clear. To race 6, number 9, No Angel Here, number 9 out of race 6. And race 7, take out 7, Win One More, and 12, Cameo Rush, 7 and 12 from race 7 at Armidale.
A couple of tips today, 10. Race 5, number 1, Melted Moments. How nice are they, Jimmy? Melted Moments.
What are they? A biscuit?
The biscuits, yeah. They're yummy. It'll win today anyway. It'll also be even nicer. And Warren in the Cotton Cup, race 7, number 8, Our Sarastro. Connie Gregg's got this horse going in terrific touch. I think it'll be a great each-way chance today in the Cotton Cup. Jimmy, race 7, number 8, Our Sarastro.
Actually is listed as a $4.60 favourite now.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, for the Cube Logistics Cotton Cup up there at Warren. And the other one that you mentioned today, race 5 at Armidale, race 5, number 1, Melted Moments for Paul Grills. $4.60 is the quote in the paper. It's been a while, but the quiz debacle is back. I knew it couldn't last. Cheers, Dave from Wattlegrove. Yeah, Dave's been watching the quiz very closely, listening very closely over the last couple of years, and he recognises that no one puts on a quiz quite like the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend team. And spotted well again today. Good on you, Dave. Appreciate that. 13:53:53 is the open line number. It is half time in the match. Kangaroos versus the Kiwis. 10-0 in favour of the Kangaroos at present. Mick wants to have a chat. G'day, Mick.
Hello, Jimmy, Ray.
Morning, Mick.
I just think about the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
I think there's a great story there, like the trainer who ran Heartbreak Kid. Heartbreak Kid or Heartbreak City?
Heartbreak City. Yeah.
Yeah, the Irish blokes.
Yep.
He must be a phenomenal trainer. He bought that horse out of a claiming race where it apparently had no record or anything. He turned it into a nearly a Melbourne Cup winner. And those Irish fellows down in and have had a run in Australia, which is against the rule of the game, as they say.
Well, it's funny you say that, Mick, because all the other trainers from England and Ireland who were down here for the Cup spoke almost in, Jim, reverential tones about Tony Martin. I didn't know a lot about him, but they all regard him as an absolute master horseman. And, well, he nearly pulled it off, didn't he?
Yeah, and what happened was, you wouldn't believe it, I should have had the trifecta for 166%. And what I did was, I listened to the radio, and I finished up taking Frankie Dettore on.
Oh, yeah.
And I crossed out Heartbreak Kid. I would have had the trifecta for 166%. So that made my weekend. My Melbourne Cup day.
Mick.
Jimmy, I feel sorry for Mick. Maybe we send him an Elvis CD, because Frankie Dettore, he butchered a lot of people's Melbourne Cup hopes.
Can I just mention one other thing? You're talking about, what's her name? The Rugby League Trophy for the Grand Final, on Proven and Summons.
Yeah.
The mud they played in.
Good point. Oh. Yeah, good point, Mick. Yeah, good one, Mick. Yeah,
1963 Grand Final.
That photo didn't appear. Wasn't it O'Brien who took the photo?
John O'Grady.
John O'Grady, yeah.
Yeah, John O'Grady. It was years before anyone even thought of looking back on it. And the way they've designed it is absolutely phenomenal. Two greats of the game.
CD for Mick, Jimmy.
Hey, that's a good nomination there, Mick, for that tough weather conditions. 1963 Grand Final, leading right to the great Gladiators photo with... Norm Proven and Keith Holman. So I know you didn't get 166% of the quaddy, but we are going to send you a CD. And I think, Ray, you felt that might have been some sort of consolation there for
Frank. He's ridden a Group 1 winner at the Breeders' Cup.